Welcome back to another Nugget of Truth. Today we're going to be exploring the concept, the principle of an exchange, which is found in all true covenants. As we've learned, a blood covenant is the most binding of all the covenants. A blood covenant also involves an exchange that takes place between two parties of the covenant. We often refer to them as covenant heads. The exchange results in oneness, with the two parties of the covenant becoming one entity. A prime example of this that we're all familiar with is, of course, marriage. And the question of marriage is it a covenant or it is a contract? You see, there are many who look at marriage as a contract, but that isn't how the Bible looks at marriage. The Bible looks at marriage as a covenant. The difference between contract and covenant is so important to understand. Marriage is not a business agreement. In a business contract, both parties in the contract agree to fulfill certain responsibilities. Now, in a contract, if one party doesn't live up to the terms of the contract becomes void. You see, divorce in modern society is so common because so many couples look at marriage as a contract. Marriage, in reality, is a covenant between the bride and the groom. The marriage covenant is an example of two becoming one. In marriage, the two parties become one flesh. Here's some scriptures to look at. Genesis 2:24, Matthew 19:5 and 6, and then Ephesians 5:31. In the marriage vows, you're saying that you're taking your spouse as your flesh, to love your spouse even as Christ loves the church, to protect your spouse and care for your spouse for the rest of your lives. There is no way to avoid a covenant. Our confidence in Jesus is because we understand that we are in a covenant relationship with Him. In addition, in a marriage covenant, there's an exchange. All that belongs to the bride, including all of her possessions, debts, and future potential, now belong to the bridegroom. And all that belong to the bridegroom, the possessions, debts, and future potential, now belong to the bride. You see, all the resources, all the power and authority are now shared between the two covenant heads. In this case, it's the bride and the bridegroom. Again, covenants can't be broken for any reason. A covenant implies faithfulness, loyalty, and commitment. If one side of a covenant does not fulfill its obligation, that doesn't void the covenant. And we should be thankful for that, because you know that as believers in Jesus Christ, we do stumble. We do sin. And thankfully, we can repent and be restored in our relationship with God. But the important thing to understand is that God never turns away from us, because He is committed in a covenant relationship to us. Now, there are some good other examples in the Bible that we can look at about covenant relationships. The first one we're going to look at is the relationship between David and Jonathan. In a biblical covenant, one covenant head is generally weaker in power and authority or wealth. The weaker party would usually covenant with a stronger covenant head. For instance, Jonathan, who was a prince and the son of King Saul, was the stronger party. He formed a covenant with young David. We see that in 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 14. And it says, at that time, it explains that David was just a common man from a small family of shepherds. Now, after David had killed Goliath, a conversation between Jonathan and David is revealed in 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4. Now, when he had finished speaking to Saul, that's David, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. David lived in Saul's palace. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant. That's what the scripture says. They made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And then Jonathan took off the robe that was on him, and he gave it to David. And then with it, he gave him his armor, even to his sword, his bow, and his belt. You see, the more powerful Prince Jonathan gave to David the emblems of his authority and power. That was the robe and his weapons. David had nothing to give except his loyalty. Doesn't that sound like our covenant relationship with Jesus? He gives us everything, and all he asks from us is our loyalty. Then further on, we can see another aspect of the covenant in the relationship between David and Mephibosheth. Now, let me just remind you that Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son. So at some point, what we find, both King Saul and Jonathan were dead, and David becomes the king of Israel. At some point, David remembered the covenant he had made with Jonathan. And here's an important point about covenants. The terms of a covenant apply to all members associated with the covenant heads. That means Jonathan's family and David's family. For us, we are in Jesus' family. Now, for details, please read 2 Samuel chapter 9, all of chapter 9. And I'm just going to describe some of it. Mephibosheth was crippled in his feet, and he was living in exile outside of Jerusalem. Now, King David was reminded of his covenant with Jonathan and wanted to bless the family of Jonathan, even though he, Jonathan, was dead. So David finds out that Mephibosheth is alive. And immediately, David sends for Mephibosheth. And when he arrives into King David's court, he comes as a pauper and a slave because that's how he saw himself. But the king, on the other hand, sees Mephibosheth through the eyes of the covenant. David sees him as a prince in his court. At that moment, David restores all that was rightfully his as heir of Jonathan, all the land and all his possessions. And then listen to this, and I'm quoting, and he says, As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Isn't this the same promise Jesus makes to those who follow him? Take a look at Luke 14, verse 12, and then Revelations 19, 9. Another example in the Bible of a powerful person coming to the aid of a weaker one because of the covenant principle is the relationship between Abram and Lot. This principle gives the weaker person the authority to call upon and receive the power of the stronger one because of the promises made in the covenant agreement. We can call on Jesus in our weakness and in our difficulty and our challenges in life. He's the stronger, we're the weaker. We find in Genesis chapter 14, Lot, Abram's nephew, now although he's his nephew, he's also called a brother. He chose to leave the physical protection and covering of Abram and moved to the region of Sodom. Sometime later, a war broke out, and the region in which Lot lived was conquered, and of course, to the victor goes the spoils. The cities, including Lot's possessions, were plundered, and they were plundered of all of their wealth. In this case, the conquering kings made a fatal mistake. They took Lot captive. Abram discovered what had happened. Now, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house, and they went in pursuit as far as Dan. Because Lot was of Abram's clan, Lot's captivity caused the entire clan of Abram to unite and fight against their now common enemy. And then the scriptures tell us that he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the children. You see, the weaker, Lot, received the power of the stronger, Abram, because Lot was covered as part of the body of people, a covenant body, under the covenant relationship. This is such an important covenant principle for us as Christians because of the new covenant we have with Christ, which was established by his own blood. We have the power and the authority of Jesus released to us, all because we, as believers, are part of the body of Christ. The great exchange in all covenants with God, there's an exchange that takes place. As covenants are made and kept, God, as the stronger party, gives blessing, provision, protection, wisdom, and even more to the weaker party, which is us. In our look at covenants, there is no better example of this exchange than in the new covenant. The exchange is so clear, and what we receive is so glorious and abundant that is known by some Bible teachers as the great exchange. And I promise that in my next episode, we're going to be taking a look at some of the provisions that have been provided by the new covenant so that we could be truly more than conquerors because of his love for us. And so until then, I just pray that you have a wonderful week, that you would meditate on these things that I've been sharing with you and realize that God is for you. He's not against you. He's for you. And you have an opportunity by faith to receive all that he has for you. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.